Have you noticed that there tends to be two times in people's lives when they purposely look for Jesus? First, when you lose everything. And second, when you have everything. Although rich, young, and a ruler, the man in today's Holy Gospel prompts Jesus by asking him a very deep question. And it is so deep that we need to open our pew Bibles so that we may look at it and digest it together. We're turning to page 1574, Mark chapter 10, and we begin with verse 17. You'll find verse 17 right at the bottom of the left-hand column. The heading says, "The Rich and the Kingdom of God." Look at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus' immediate answer appears strange. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Jesus goes for the gusto and addresses what I think is the greatest misconception about inheriting eternal life, and that if someone can someday, some way, or somehow be good enough to inherit eternal life. There's only one answer to this, and it's plainly clear. No one is good enough except God himself. If I were to ask for a show of hands of everyone here who thinks they're good people or who knows someone is good, everybody here would raise their hand, right? Absolutely. If we think we're good or know someone who is good, then how could Jesus say only God is good? You see, we judge goodness differently than Jesus does. Let me explain. If Jesus said that only God is good, then goodness is behaving like God would. On the other hand, we do not define goodness as behaving like God, do we? We lower the standard, we lower the bar, and some people lower the standard more than others do. In our gospel reading this morning from Mark, which is open in our pew Bibles right now, this rich young ruler had a very high standard for goodness. Jesus asked him if he knew the commandments. His response showed that he was quite obedient and did not murder. He did not commit adultery. He did not steal. He did not lie. He did not cheat. He did not dishonor his father and mother. And he told Jesus in verse 20 that he had kept all of the commandments since he was a little boy. That's a higher standard than a whole lot of people have today. Hopefully, we would never murder or commit adultery. But how many of us, honestly, can say we've never stolen, lied, cheated, or dishonored our father and mother, no matter how young we were? Although you and I may fall short, this rich young ruler thought he was good enough to inherit eternal life. But if goodness is behaving like God, then everyone lacks something. Let's see what happens next in verse 21. Verse 21 is again on page 1574. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Can you just imagine what was going through this rich young man's mind? Because he was rich, he did not want to give it up. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." We often think that it's only bad things that keep people from entering the kingdom of heaven. But sometimes it's our good things that can and will do even greater damage. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, spoke of such damage. And let me read to you from Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things chokes the word of God, making it unfruitful. Now, don't get me wrong. Having money is a very good thing. It's how we use it that makes the difference. There are a number of reasons why it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." We can be deceived into thinking our material blessings are somehow a sign of God's approval. That, my friends, is sometimes known as the prosperity gospel. That if you believe hard enough, Cadillacs and other things are going to come your way. But again, from Matthew's gospel, Jesus said this, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, Satan said, if you will bow down and worship me." We cannot love both God and money. Jesus went on to say that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for anyone to love both God and money. If no one is good except God, then it's natural for us to react the same way the disciples did. In verse 26, at the bottom of page 1574, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" In other words, if you can't be good enough or rich enough to inherit the kingdom of God, then who can be saved? But this is exactly what Jesus wants them to see. We know and have seen that Jesus saves murderers, liars, cheats, and drunks who repent. But there's one kind of person he can never save. And that's the person who does not see his or her need for a Savior. The whole point Jesus is making is that the disciples are suddenly seeing and understanding that it's impossible for even very upstanding men and women to save themselves. If it's impossible for people to save themselves, then we've got to look somewhere else as a source of our salvation. I want to ask those here who are in the agricultural business, when you plant seed, do you make it grow? You prepare the soil, you fertilize, you plant the seed, and you wait. You can water it, you can do all the things necessary, but only, as some people will say, nature makes it open. Well, nature is God. God cracks open the kernel. People look to philosophies or religions for source of their salvation. But according to the words of Jesus, only God can save us. Jesus says in today's gospel, and he says this in verse 27 on the top of page 1575. "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The bad news is that you and I can never be good enough or rich enough to inherit eternal life. But the good news, it's always good news. The good news is that God has made it possible for us to inherit eternal life. We inherit eternal life only by accepting the free gift of God's salvation. And that's his Son, Jesus Christ. And the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. Isn't that amazing? That's good news. Eternal life is a free gift. I don't know if you're old enough to remember a TV show called The Millionaire. And there was a guy named John Beresford Tipton who would send Michael Anthony out with this little black case. And he would find the person who John Beresford Tipton had chosen and deliver a tax-free check for $1 million. No strings attached. My brothers and sisters, that's grace. There are no strings attached. Eternal life is a free gift. That's why we can literally sell everything and still have exactly what we need to get to heaven. When Jesus pointed people to God the Father, what he was really doing was pointing to himself. And in verse 21, Jesus implied that to follow God was the same as following him. This is because Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh. Did you notice as we were going through the gospel that in verse 18, Jesus asked the rich young ruler why he called him good, since only God is good? The logic that Jesus is using here is that if Jesus is good, then he also must be God. Therefore, we inherit eternal life by admitting and repenting our sins, recognizing our need for a Savior, and that only Jesus is that Savior, and then accepting him as Lord. How many people here have a fish on the back of their car? Hey, a lot of people. Yeah, you go into a parking lot over at Harvey's or at Walmart or wherever you're headed, you always see this little fish and say, ah, they're a Christian. Do you know what the fish means? The fish is an outward testimony of this word, ichthus. That sounds like, ooh, ichthus. I don't want to touch that. Ichthus. In Greek, Jesus Christos Theos, huios soter. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And the early Christians took the word ichthus, which means fish, and connected the two. So that if you had this symbol, they knew that they were talking to friends and not enemies. You could draw in the sand a half of the fish and somebody could finish it, and you'd know that you agreed that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, but he is also the Savior of mankind. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a very high-ranking official at the temple, who snuck at night to talk to Jesus and find out how he could be saved, how he could be born again. And Jesus said these words. You know them. You know them very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Personally, myself, being raised as a Roman Catholic, I once believed that in order to get to heaven, I needed to be good enough. And I'm pretty sure that there are many others who still believe that. Well, I can never be good enough to earn a place in heaven. There's nothing that I can do to earn my place in heaven. Do you know why? Because it's already been done. It was done once when Jesus went to the cross in my place, in your place, and in the place of all sinners. Only by admitting that we're not perfect, we're not good enough, and recognizing that Jesus purchased for us our place in heaven by his death on the cross, that we inherit eternal life and we receive this by faith. Our debt's been paid by God himself. He has canceled out the debt. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much that you gave us the way, the only way to eternal life. Someone once said that receiving eternal life is like the hand of a beggar reaching up to receive the gift from the King. My brothers and sisters, knowing and accepting Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, makes accepting this gift possible. Thanks be to God. We can never be good enough, but He is not only good enough, He loves us and gives us His all, which is more than good enough. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.